Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for March 21st in the year of our Lord, 2024. Eldon Stahl with me. He's the field coordinator for the John Birch Society, JBS.org, thenewamerican.com as well. We talked about being happy. Yeah. Yesterday was the International Day of Happiness, and, man, there's all these kind of things that are bringing me down. Yeah, like Biden announcing $8.5 billion in handouts when we, the taxpayers, don't have any money. We're $34 trillion plus in debt and growing at an alarming rate. Yeah, and they're giving it out to big corporate interests as well, along with tax breaks and everything else. The DNC hiring a bunch of lawyers to fight third-party ballot access. Yeah, they say this, candidates... efforts will be watched to guarantee, quote, to the degree that you are seeking status as a new political party, that you are actually a political party, and that you actually have a large group of people supporting you who believe in what you're doing, not simply a single candidate wanting to circumvent existing rules. Now, I find that very interesting. Yeah, they want state policies that limit access for the ballot to make sure people who are on the ballot have a legitimate base of support and that it's not simply a vanity project. Eldon, right before the pause, last hour was kind of talking about this, going, you know what, this is a serious problem. Eldon?
Yes, it is. And really, it goes back to a mindset of collectivism, that the rights of people come from what part of what group they're part of, rather than them being a, you know, a human being. So the idea is basically that your rights come by virtue of being part of this or that group. Of course, the Democrats, you can think of all kinds of things. You know, gay rights, women's rights, old person rights, rights of cats, or I don't know, whatever it is, some group. And this is basically the same idea, that your political rights, including the right to run for office and be on the ballot so people can choose you if they so choose, comes by virtue of being part of some group. Imagine if someone were to say, yeah, you do have the right to keep and bear arms, but what you need to show is that you're part of a group that is large enough to show that they really care about this right, and so that you all can exercise that right as a group rather than as an individual. Or, you know, name any other right, the right to free speech. Yeah, you have that right, you don't necessarily have the ability to exercise that right unless you're part of, they treat it that way nowadays, unless you're part of the press, right? They try to limit your rights. They try to make that argument with the Second Amendment, too, to say you can only exercise it as part of the militia, as part of a group. So they do this in a lot of instances, don't they?
They do, and it's a problem, and it's a misunderstanding. It almost reminds me of the church and state debate, you know, separation of church and state. As you know, it's a complete lie. The intent was to say we can't have the government forcing a single religion, or the government being the religious, you know, litmus test kind of a thing, litmus test. But the idea that we can have our own religion and our own beliefs and that can influence what we do at the state level or in the public square, there was nothing to stop that. But they pervert it and try to make sure that they can checkmate you and kick you out of the game by perpetuating the church and state, separation of church and state lie. It was only meant to be one direction for the federal or for the government not to interfere with the church, not the other way around. Well, the reason that I bring that up is collectivism, for the most part, is a disaster and dishonest and against everything we stand for in America. However, I want to make something clear constitutionally, and this is where a lot of the militia groups, a lot of the sovereignty movement people and all that kind of stuff, a lot of the people that believe in the, quote, common law juries and all that kind of stuff get confused, okay? We the people are sovereign under God, and we the people are the government, okay? And we delegate our authority to all kinds of groups, local, state, federal, etc. And we separate power so that no one gets too powerful. We don't seek for power in the Constitution. We seek to pull it down and divide power and use the checks and balances to make sure nobody gets too powerful. Well, the reason that I bring this up is our authority as sovereigns, as the people, means the government, elected officials, delegated authority, is all based on that we the people have a collective authority. And what I mean by that is when you're born into the country, you don't go, oh, I vote for the Republic. You're just born into it, and you are a member of the contract by your birth, by your nature. The contract was created by many generations ago, but I was born and subscribed to it as well. The point is, it's not a collective right, but it is a collective sovereignty to some degree. And the reason I say that is because you can't just go start your own militia. I mean, you can, but it doesn't have any legitimate authority. Because what's to stop my militia from being bigger than your militia? Okay, we've got to have order in the system. It's got to have a proper role of limited constitutional government. That's based on elections and delegation of authority, et cetera. And so this collectivism is kind of like that church and state where there is some thread of truth to it, but it's then perverted and turned on its head against the people, Eldon.
Well, yes. It ends up that way. I mean, the idea that we can only exercise our rights as a collective is just so anathema, so contrary to
what's a lie.
It's a lie. Our country was founded upon the idea of individual rights. The powers of people, abilities of people that were given them by their creator, by God, that no government can legitimately violate or take away. If we abandon that, we go the way of countless other countries and nations that have gone before.
And yeah, are misguided still existing. Countries and nations, I might add.
Yes. And, that's one thing that makes America unique and a place where people will seek out, because they know that, well, you don't have to be part of the right guild to, go into business. You don't have to, to exercise your right to, freely practice your religion. You don't have to it doesn't exist by virtue of joining a certain church or something. You can believe whatever you want, practice whatever you want, right? All of those things, in just about any aspect of life, it's either individual or recognized as a collective right. And if it's a collective, it's very, very much easier to take it away and to pit different groups against each other for special favors from the government, of course, too.
That's right. And the reason I bring this up, though, is because if I can legitimately individually do whatever I want to, meaning I say, hey, I'm the government works for me, I can do what I want to, then I can just arrest anybody I want to, I can do whatever I want to. And so the collective here isn't designed to restrict anyone, but it is here to say, look, you can't just willy-nilly circumvent the contract on an individual basis. You'll create disorder and chaos. So there is an appropriate collective. And if you want to learn more about what I'm saying, if people doubt what I claim, go read Bastiat's The Law. And in that short, incredibly educational book, it will highlight the point that I'm making. The collective is only there when necessary. When something cannot be done individually, then the collective needs to do so. And so we give delegation and authority to government based on our collective sovereignty. So I can't just opt out of the contract individually. I don't have that authority. Transverse is true. I can't just start firing people and arresting people and doing whatever I want. And if I don't have that right to do that, because it goes against the appropriate collective, the necessary collective, then I also don't have the right to create like a militia and, you know, pretend I can create these common law juries and start indicting people and arresting people. And I don't have that authority individually. It's important to understand. Yeah. So there is a legitimacy to the collective, but they've perverted it and turned it on its head. That's for sure. Quick pause. Eldon Stahl with me. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental. Where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I mentioned there's election fraud everywhere, and this is a serious concern. I don't know that this is election fraud, but I know this is absolutely unacceptable in America. We've literally catered to other cultures and countries for so long, we don't know what America is. Well, there's a headline that really concerns me, and I want to get your take on this, Eldon Stahl. Eldon Stahl's with the John Birch Society, jbs.org, thenewamerican.com. Check it out today, The New American, one of the great American magazines. It's been published as long as I've been alive or more, and it just does tremendous, stellar research, news, commentary, and more, thenewamerican.com. All right, here's the headline, Eldon Stahl. Democratic Ohio rep, guy's name is Ismail Mohammed. So let me say this again. Democratic Ohio Rep. Ismail Mohammed. He's a Somali immigrant, by the way. Came in 2005 or something like that, or 2007. He won the Democratic primary for Ohio's 3rd House District. Fine. If he's an American, that's fine. But he delivered his victory speech almost entirely in Somali. What is happening, Eldon Stahl?
Well, that sounds a bit unusual, doesn't it? I wonder who his audience was, his intended audience, because, you know, the
Somalis.
Population of Somalis, people that understand Somali in the United States, is somewhat limited, wouldn't you say? I mean, nothing against speaking in whatever language you want to. You know, if he wants to speak in Latin or whatever, I don't know. But why would he do that?
because that's
seems
his
like,
base. That's
well,
what got him
yeah.
elected.
If you're going to do a victory speech, you got elected or at least nominated, you would say you would want to have something that your base, your supporters could understand, right? Your constituents. Seems like he would be limiting his support base if he's just speaking in Somali.
Well, that's oh, the problem. I don't think that's the
well,
case. We've
yeah.
been talking about white replacement theory for a long time. They mocked us and said it isn't true and it's not happening. And then,
yeah.
But now if you can literally come to America as a Somali in 2005, you can literally, in 15 years later, or whatever you want to say, 20 years later, you basically give your acceptance speech in Somali. You're not embracing American values. And I'm not telling you that the Somali language is any worse than English or anything else. But in America, we speak English. And in America, so I've got a problem with this whole thing. I don't even know that I can
yeah.
understand his acceptance speech in my own country. And they say that this is not happening, that there's not out of control illegal immigration or out of control immigration, or that, hey, the whites aren't being replaced. When you start giving your speeches in Somali, how often will it be, or how long will it be then? And in Texas and in Florida and in, say, Arizona, and they're going to start giving their speeches in Spanish, or start giving their speeches in, if you go to Chinatown in San Francisco, they'll give their speeches in Chinese. And the American dream is dying on the vine because we're being balkanized, and they lie and claim it's not happening. Now, I'm not here to promote white supremacy, but I am here to say, how can you deny this is happening when they're literally giving their acceptance speeches in Somali, right here in the United States, in Ohio, for crying out loud?
Yeah, and it's a question of, who are they representing? The title of the person that is in the House of Representatives is United States Representative. It's obviously not Somali representative or, France representative, nothing like that. It's a United States representative. Okay, so shouldn't their priority be to represent people from the United States, the interests of the United States, rather than some other country at the very least? Should that be why should we have to say this? But apparently we do.
That's where we're going in America. And again, I'm not against this Somali person, and I'm not against, their language or their culture or their people or whatever else. But I'm saying, to give an acceptance speech in the United States to represent a district of the United States in Ohio and not deliver your acceptance speech in English, I see as a serious, serious problem. And if that doesn't point to the issue, I don't know what does. How do you deny this is happening? Is this the beginning? I've never heard of an acceptance speech being given in a different language before in the United States. Have you?
Maybe in Spanish, but I don't know. It's
I'm not
very
saying it's
common.
Never happened, but it certainly wasn't, brought to my attention. This is the first knowledgeable case that's brought to my attention, like in your face, if you will. And
yeah.
I have a problem with it.
Yeah.
Not because I'm against the Somali people, not because I'm against their language. But what happens if pretty soon you have groups of people with constituents and their whole dialogue and their whole interaction and their everything before Congress and everything is all in Somali or Spanish or Russian or whatever? It doesn't matter. It's not an attack on any of these cultures. But pretty soon you won't even be able to have, if you're a congressman or senator, you won't even be able to know what bills are being proposed or what's happening or how you should vote, because you'll need an interpreter to bring it back to English so you can know what's going on. I mean, what is happening here?
Yeah, and you can imagine, okay, so let's say this does go down the road and somebody is, they come back to their home district and they're speaking Somali. Okay, well, that might on the surface sound, no big deal. But are the bills written in Somali? If their constituents want to know about a bill, can they go and say, well, gee, let me look at this bill and see if Congressman is voting the way I'd like them to on this or that? Well, they're not going to have any idea, because they won't be able to read the bills themselves, even if they wanted to. So there's less accountability there, for one thing. They just have to believe whatever their congressman tells them, or whatever the local media might tell them if it gets to be one in Somali or who knows what language. It just creates this a situation where people are ripe to be kind of serfs or subjects rather than citizens. It's not a good situation.
All right, and my wondering if bills are going to be drafted in foreign languages, if they give this speech or whatever. It doesn't seem like anybody's really pushing back on this, though. I look through the news, and I don't see anybody really catching this headline and going, what? I see the headline, but I don't see any concern over it. What do you think?
Yeah,
Elvin?
Well,
I don't know where to go with this, because where does this end?
Well, eventually it's got to end with the people, the voters, and how they, you know, who they want to represent them in Congress. But it does lay a foundation for things that are just not good for liberty. So I don't know. Basically, we've got to make sure that the people that we send to Congress are representing at least the interests of the United States, not the interests of some foreign country, which kind of brings up, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people in Congress, they seem more more concerned about the issues of other countries rather than that of the United States. We can use the example of Ukraine. We can use the example of Israel seems to come up all the time, you know. It's not that those countries are necessarily good or bad. The point is that these are U.S. representatives, and their first priority should be to represent the interests of the United States, not use their position to get special favors above and beyond what they would give to people in the United States.
Anyway, I don't really know how to respond to something like this. I just look at this and I'm just shocked. I'm shocked more that no one seems to be concerned about it. And like I say, I'm not against their language or anything. But you got somebody literally holding power in the United States, and I can't understand a word of what they're talking about. In my own country,
yeah,
where English is the primary language and stuff like this, or it used to be, to where, you know what? How long will it be until we just have a sliced and diced, completely balkanized nation where it's like, hey, the Somalis live in Ohio, the whatever Islamists live in, you know, Minnesota or whatever, because you've got the governor that's like an Islam guy in Minnesota, right? And you've got all these agendas happening in America. And you go, what is happening? And what do we do about it? The second you bring it up, though, then they'll say you're a white supremacist racist, aren't you there, Eldon or Sam or whatever? You can't bring this up even in, quote, appropriate circles. Now, I can, because I tell these people to fly a kite and I'll tell the truth everywhere I go. It's not that I don't like his religion or I don't like his language or I don't like his culture. It's none of that. It's I can't communicate. We will never have a stable country if we lack the ability to communicate. And that's really the problem here.
Yeah, it works to further the agenda of those that want to divide us and then rule us, because it's easier to rule a divided people than it is a united people. You've got to, people are going to understand what America's about.
His acceptance speech could say promote communism. I love it. I'm here to promote communism in America. Now, I'm not saying that's what his speech says. I'm saying, how do we know without an interpreter or unless we learn Somali?
Yeah. Right. Right. It's very, very difficult to know. And you're dependent upon the interpreters then as well. And sometimes they, you know, even like, okay, Fidel Castro, he had this slogan, Vince Amos. Well, they translated into we shall overcome. And technically, yes, but really it's we're going to conquer. You know, even a connotation, a nuance from one language to another.
Intent, ladies and gentlemen, is how they will betray us. Beware. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds on your radio.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. News. I'm Ryan Daniels. The Federal Reserve is deciding to keep interest rates stable for now. Fed Chair Jerome Powell.
They haven't really changed the overall story, which is that of inflation moving down gradually on a sometimes bumpy road toward 2%. I don't think that story has changed.
Nevertheless, the central bank has hinted at three upcoming cuts sometime this year. These would mark the first decreases since the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020 began an aggressive series of rate hikes. House Speaker Mike Johnson had a long discussion with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu Wednesday. USA's John Schaefer with those details.
The Louisiana Republican reaffirmed unwavering support for Israel and expressed significant disagreement with Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's recent critique of the Prime Minister.
We think it is not only foolhardy, it's dangerous for him to be trying to suggest how Israel should run its domestic affairs in the midst of their conflict. So you'll see the House Republicans continue to stand forward and reiterate our support for Israel at this very critical time.
According to the State Department, efforts are underway to evacuate Americans stranded in Haiti by helicopter. This development coincides with a surge in gang violence within Haiti. The State Department's reported nearly 1,000 Americans currently in the country. Helicopters are anticipated to conduct multiple trips from Port-au-Prince to the Dominican Republic for evacuations. A federal gambling probe has resulted in charges against a man linked to Major League Baseball superstar Shohei Ohtani. The LA Times reports Ohtani's interpreter is the man charged in the case. He was fired Wednesday for allegedly stealing millions of dollars and placing bets through an illegal bookie who was already under investigation by the feds. Ohtani, who plays for the Los Angeles Dodgers, was with the team in South Korea when the news broke Wednesday. This is USA News.
I'd like to introduce you to our new sponsor, Get the Tea. Get the Tea carries all natural, non-GMO organic teas and supplements made in the USA. Get the Tea's ingredients are the purest available. My favorite is Life Change Tea. Life Change Tea is a gentle daily cleanse containing 12 herbs that when combined really keep things moving. I drink it every day and my energy has never been better. I'm feeling great. Life Change Tea comes in three delicious flavors, natural, peppermint, and pomegranate. It's an easy and delicious way to keep your digestion on track. And for those on the go, try D365. D365 is Life Change Tea in a capsule. Drink the tea or take D365 capsules and keep your digestion running smoothly. Go to GetTheTea.com and enter discount code USA to get 10% off any size order. That's GetTheTea.com, discount code USA for 10% off your order.
Attention collectors and savvy investors. We are excited to announce a momentous evolution in our journey. Introducing Freewater Coin Company, formerly known as Rust Coin and Gift. This rebranding takes us back to the very roots of where it all began, Freewater, Oregon. It's a tribute to the legacy of Al Rust and a celebration of three generations of dedication and excellence in the world of coins and precious gifts. Al, Brian, and Jake Rust, standing strong through 64 years of service. Discover a world of exceptional service at Freewater Coin Company, your premier destination for genuine, honest money and precious gifts. Under Brian's expert guidance, Freewater Coin Company, building on the legacy of Rust Coin and Gift, continues its tradition of trust and excellence. Visit us at our Provo, Utah location. Explore our treasures online at rustgoldandsilver.com or call us at 801-377-1574. Freewater Coin Company, where your future is built one honest coin at a time.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, the border leaks like a sieve, and the United States government is literally betraying their proper role, constitutionally speaking. They're supposed to protect the border from enemies, foreign and domestic. But no, your federal government, Joe Biden and clowns, are literally flying illegals into the country, giving them aid and abetting them in many, 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 many ways. Now Ron DeSantis is forced to deal with it. Tucker Carlson literally had an interview where he talked about, hey, the Haitian government is melting down. In Haiti, people are leaving. And eventually Florida will be overrun by Haitians. Now, I think he might be speaking a little bit prematurely, but I think in general his point is true and right. Here's the headline from Ron DeSantis. DeSantis, quote, if Biden's Haitian illegals land in Florida, I might send them to Martha's Vineyard. Now, R. Court Kirkwood over at thenewamerican.com has this incredible piece. I'm not a fan of these governors that are conservative or supposedly Republicans, whether it's Greg Abbott on the Texas border, whether it's Ron DeSantis on the Florida, in the state of Florida. You know, they're basically saying, look, we'll just take the illegals and send them further into our country or to another place in our country. If they illegally got here, it's illegal to send them somewhere else here, is it not? Why send them to Martha's Vineyard? Why not send them back to Haiti? And that's the problem that we're facing. It's turned into a clown show. Do you want to have them flown into the country by Joe Biden or transferred into the country and then sent to another place by Ron DeSantis or Greg Abbott? It seems like they're all playing games as if they're on different sides of the discussion, but they're all aiding and abetting illegals in terms of distributing them all throughout the United States, Eldon.
Well, yeah, that is one side of it, true. At the same time, if the federal government is prohibiting them from deporting them outside of the country, then you know, you might argue that their best option is to at least have the people that are most responsible for this situation to feel the most pain.
But then why not send them to the 10-mile square that the feds control? Why send them to Martha's Vineyard?
Well, yeah, good point, right? Martha's Vineyard is within another state.
And so my problem with this, all Martha's Vineyard's going to do, like they did last time, is transfer them somewhere else, right?
Yeah. So it just ends up being this, I don't know, kind of an untenable situation anyway. But it's a unique approach to the idea. But in the end, of course, it's kind of a Band-Aid type of a thing.
But I submit to you, that's what the Democrats exactly want. They don't care if the Republican governors send them elsewhere. They were going to ship them elsewhere anyway.
Right.
They're not going to leave them all in Texas or all in Florida because they know that people will be overrun and it'll be a crisis. What they want to do is distribute enough of them around the country to where everybody feels the pain together, or hopefully they can distribute them widely enough to where no one really feels the pain. But look, we're going to have 10 million illegals voting in America pretty soon, and you won't be able to stop them.
Yeah, well, certainly. I mean, if people are doing mass, you know, mail-in balloting, so where like in Utah they started, they just take the big list of people that are registered and they just do a mass mailing. Okay, well, chances are people have moved, people have died at the very least, and there's going to be people getting ballots that are blank, that there's nobody there to fill it out. Of course, an honest person would not fill them out, but there are plenty of dishonest people in the world, I've heard, and they have no qualms about just you know, filling out multiple ballots and sending them in.
Anyway, when I look at Tucker Carlson saying the Haitians are going to overrun Florida, and when I look at Ron DeSantis saying that I'm going to send them all to Martha's Vineyard, and when I look at this guy who just got elected and he's delivering his acceptance speech in Somali, I'm kind of going, if we don't have borders, if we don't have the rule of law, if illegal activity is not illegal activity, then do we even have a country in the future, Eldon? I mean, where does this end up?
Yeah. Yeah, it just ends up totally breaking down the society, the government, and everything. And that's where I think these people want to push it. With an end. So basically, something like anarchy, which essentially this ends up being, anarchy only ends when somebody comes in. Usually it's the person that created the anarchy, the disorder, comes in and says, okay, I'll come restore order, but only if you give me power. Well, you know, the breakdown in order that we experience from having all these people from different countries who have no appreciation, no understanding of what our country is about, of course that's going to change the country. That's going to also cause civil, social problems and all kinds of things. It's going to create the demand for a more authoritarian type of government. And of course, the people that want to be authoritarians, they're fine with that.
I don't know where we go with this, really, to be honest with you. So what language do the people in Haiti speak? Is it Haitian?
Yeah. Yeah, Haitian Creole.
Is that what it's called? I'm not Creole. Okay, I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm just saying there's, some of these countries,
well,
it's hard to know what their languages
there's
are.
There's some French,
right? French, some
French
influence,
too, but,
right?
Yeah. But yeah, Haiti has been, I mean, ever since they declared independence in, what, 1804 or something, one of the first to declare independence after the United States, it's been just a mess. I mean, the whole, one of the most impoverished countries in the whole world is Haiti.
Yeah, I don't know
you've
if
got
it's
people
worth
eating,
or not, it's hard to tell, right?
Dirt pies, you know, just terrible. And now there's reports of cannibalistic gangs trying to take over Haiti. This is apocalyptic
and I get their
type
plight.
Of...
I get their plight. Don't misunderstand me. I care about humans and their plight and everything. But we cannot handle this influx. So here's the next question. Can the Haitian illegal that just got transferred to wherever, if we send them, say, to Ohio, do you think they'll be able to understand the what's this thing? A Somali? Do you think the Haitians can understand Somali?
No.
So, let me get this right. This guy's speaking Somali. The Haitians won't be able to understand. Neither will we.
Yeah. So nobody understands each other. Of course, that doesn't bode well for, you know, building any trust or whatever. Usually what happens is people just, by nature, right, they have to form their own communities of people
they
that
don't
speak
have a choice.
The same language. They don't have a choice, of course. You have ghettos and or whatever.
It's not that
you
they're bad
it, right?
people. I'm not attacking the Haitians and I'm not attacking the Somalis, but I'm making a point. They will have no choice but to cluster around their own people and create their own, I don't know what you want to call it. Would it be Haitian town? Would it be Somali town? What would it be?
Yeah. And some of them, of course, have interest in learning the language and things and assimilating, but others do not.
Well, in the
right
yesteryears of America, everybody that came to America wanted to learn what made this country so great. They wanted to take part in it and become American. In fact, a lot of the early immigrants didn't even want their native language or whatever you want to say, their home language spoke in America because they wanted to learn American or English. Now, I'm not here to say someone can't speak the language of their mother tongue or whatever you want to say. I get it. I'm just saying at some point, if we don't learn the language, if we don't learn the customs, if we don't... eventually, it's just going to be violence, isn't it?
It can be, yeah. And also, of course, nowadays there are, you know, we don't have such strong incentives as previously to learn the language or to assimilate. There's, all these handouts, all these things translated into different languages. And in a sense, that's not bad, but in a sense that really, you know, we're shooting ourselves in the foot because people, you know, they're not confronted with the uncomfortable situation where they don't understand and they want to understand. And that's a compelling reason to say, you know what, like, let's say you're on vacation in France. Maybe I should learn French. This is a good time to learn, you know, how to say, where's the bathroom or what have you.
Well, and I'm okay with small groups of people that don't know the language that need an interpreter that are there temporarily. I don't have any problem with that.
No, sure, but,
you know. But I'm talking about if you force massive groups of people together that don't know each other's language, how long will they be able to peacefully coexist? I don't think that it's very long. I think eventually it will be forced into violence. There's no other choice because you cannot communicate. That's why the Tower of Babel failed and melted down, right?
Well, there was certainly disorder there, and that's the explanation of how different nations started. Because of necessity, people had to be able to communicate with each other if they're going to form governments, if they're going to self-govern. And that's what we're talking about. If we're going to govern ourselves, we've got to be able to communicate with each other to make decisions of great import, such as what are our laws going to be regarding XYZ.
And ladies and gentlemen, Liberty Roundtable Live, final segment in seconds on your radio.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
All right, Eldon Stahl, Sam Bushman live on your radio. All I can tell you is this, folks. We're going to have a problem. And if people don't speak the same language, they don't have any way to kind of communicate, eventually it's going to erupt in violence and frustration and anger and misunderstandings, at the least. Communication is core, is key. And if you don't have appropriate communication, I'm telling you right now, it is... Just go look at the Tower of Babel in the Bible Times to see what I'm talking about. It devolved into a disaster, to say the least. But you know what? Franklin Graham spoke out about some of this in a unique way that I found interesting. Franklin Graham, no question, there's an Antichrist spirit in the world today, he says. He hammers the United States media for, quote, demonizing Christians who are conservatives. Bob Unruh, worldnetdaily.com or WND.com, but we're really starting to get the spirit of Satan. A lot of these Haitian people and everything, I'm not against them, or a lot of these Somali people, a lot of them have voodoo as their kind of mode of religiosity, so to speak. And that doesn't bode well for America either, Eldon.
Well, yeah, it's seems like, the idea basically of conservatism, one of the main ideas in America is that government should be limited, and limited specifically by a fixed body of law, foundational law, and usually we call that a constitution. And the idea that government can't do whatever it wants has been probably the most popular idea among governments. But it, of course, is something that... Christian conservatives would, you know, they would espouse. So if somebody's going to attack Christian conservatives, of course, a lot of times these are people that want government to be big and all powerful. It really goes hand in hand with, you know, the many other types of belief systems which elevate the collective above the individual. Christianity is, you know, one of the very few, I would say, that elevates the rights of the individual rather than the collective. And also, of course, says that, you know, we will follow government up to a certain point, but if they're doing something that is unjust, that is immoral, we have a higher authority that we follow, and that is God. People that want big government, they don't like that idea, of course.
And when you believe in God or believe that your rights come from God, then there's this self-governing that takes place based on the nature of your belief system or your value system, etc. And that, my fellow Americans, is going away when you bring all these Haitians that don't have that. You bring all these Somalis that don't have that. I'm not saying they're evil people necessarily, but I'm saying they look to idols. They look to wrong gods. They look to, and they don't have that fundamental ethic pointing to God that we Christians have. So I'm fine with them having their own religion and their own belief systems. What I'm not fine with is that governing and creating conflicts in America that eventually, hey, with a language barrier, I'm just telling you right now, there's an antichrist spirit happening, and it's being imported wholesale into America is the problem. Two more stories before the end of the hour that I want to pick Eldon Stahl's brain on, by the way. The first one is kind of a shame. Donald Trump considering Kevin McCarthy for chief of staff role, Fox News reports. Do you want to respond to this? I don't even know how this clown show can continue like this, Eldon. It's just insane that we, I mean, the people that Donald picks to surround him are just insane.
Yeah, that would spell disaster right there. A betrayal of all the people that I'm sure are working quite hard to bring Donald Trump back into the White House. The interests of those people. If you pick somebody like that for chief of staff, I think, number one, Donald Trump would lose a lot of support of people that had something else in mind than what Kevin McCarthy would bring to the table. But number two, that would signal a significant change in direction from in the agenda of Donald Trump. So I sure hope this is this doesn't continue longer. I do remember when he was considering who was the guy, Mitt Romney for something, and quickly his supporters said, no, I'm sorry.
Not happening.
No, Mitt Romney.
No. And we hope the same thing is true with Kevin McCarthy, although I think that might have wings. And if you get the wrong VP pick and you get Kevin McCarthy at the helm, you're just already surrounded by deep state thugs. That's, the, you know, my opinion, which I'm entitled. But I look at it and I don't see it going well at all. You're just putting in the same. He's also looking at Paul Manafort. Did you see that?
Paul Manafort. Okay. Well, I don't know. But, we need to remember that.
Former campaign chairman Paul Manafort. He wants to get him on board for 2024. Manafort, pardoned by Trump, is in talks to play a role at the Republican National Convention in New York City. I just go, what on earth is happening?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, we need to remember that with a president or an executive, people are policy. Okay. So you need to look very closely at who they're surrounding themselves with. Who would they surround themselves with if they did get elected? Because not just one person making decisions. It's a team of people.
Amen to that, and that's why I'm bringing it up. You put Paul Manafort.
Yeah.
You put Kevin McCarthy. And you get a clown for VP pick. I'm just telling you right now, you're going to be surrounded by deep state folks, and they're just going to absolutely control you and shut you down, Donald. I hope you're listening to me or your staff. Somebody that can get this to you is listening right now. It is disaster. Don't do it, Donald. Do not, please, don't do it. All right, Mitch McConnell. I don't know if you agree with him or not very often, Eldon, but you may agree this time. They're saying that Mitch McConnell wants to promote the deep state, but the truth is, here's what he said. McConnell calls on Republicans to reject term limits. Now, you're a term limit guy, Eldon?
Nope.
Hey, I'm a term limit guy in the sense that we've already got term limits for some of our government elected offices. In other words, the president can only be for 4 years, you know, senators 6 years, congressman 2 years. But I'm not for greater term limits that you can't run again or you can't whatever and stuff like that. I'm against them because I believe term limits are when the people vote them out. We have control. Term limits create lame ducks everywhere under the sun, etc. But Mitch McConnell saying we don't want term limits. And believe it or not, for once in my life, I agree with Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, well, good for him for speaking up against these artificial term limits. One thing I like to point out with that idea is they always like, then they promote term limits and they always like to say, well, this is going to get rid of corruption. It's going to make Congress or whoever it is more responsive to the people. Well, you know, we have 70 years roughly of experimenting with that with the presidency and 30 years roughly of, you know, various states. We've probably got half the states that have term limits in their state officials. Why don't they at least bring one example from one state where they say, see, before term limits, there was more corruption and there was less listening to the people. And now we have more. You know, right? If you're going to roll out some sort of experiment, new initiative in a company, you do it in a small market before you roll it out nationwide, right? They never do that. Why don't they do that?
Now, the headline that I saw, I changed slightly because it said this. McConnell calls on Republicans to save the swamp. That's what the headline read. And so I went and looked at the story, and no, he's just saying don't go for term limits. You see how even our supposed friends are manipulating the narrative, Eldon?
Yeah. Yep, headlines. People that write the headlines, they determine. It's kind of, a headline is designed to catch people's attention, right, so they read it. But
I'm not for term limits. Does that mean I'm supportive of the swamp? Of course
supportive
not.
Of the
See,
swamp.
That's the,
yeah,
where the lies
right.
begin, right?
That's how they twist
They play
things
games
so much.
And put labels, and it's out of control.
Yeah.
And it's not just our enemies that are doing it. Our friends are doing this, too, when they promote for an Article 5 convention or when they push for term limits or whatever, and they browbeat us into acceptance, those who aren't savvy enough to dig and figure it out. Look, I agree that McConnell's promoting the swamp. I agree with that. But in this case, when he says no term limits and Republicans stand against them, he's right. It's not promoting the swamp. If you want the swamp to disintegrate or to be drained, then vote them out of office. You say, Sam, we can't. There's too much illegal activity. Good. Then demand at your precinct accountability. Okay, we've got to get involved, and nothing will take the place of getting involved. Pretty soon the Haitians will be involved. Pretty soon the Somalis will be involved, and they're the ones that will decide everything for us because we're not engaged and they are. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. There's all kinds of deception that goes on. They try to label you as this or that. that's kind of the game people play. And I guess they figure as long as it works, they'll keep playing the same play.
Well, in my opinion, the clarion call is for the American people to wake up, get involved, educate yourself. Don't fall for the lies. If you're not sure about something, don't just double down in favor of what's popular. Find people who know and listen to them and learn from them and gain your sea legs. And you better do it fast before we lose the culture war and wind down into a Jezebel-style anti-Christ persecution of Christians. A world we'll end up living in where nobody speaks the same language, but they all hate each other because they don't know any better and they have misunderstandings that cloud their judgment. And then the spirit of Jezebel and evil takes over. You get this voodoo kind of idea, and then we're looking at all the wrong gods. Folks, we've got to turn back to God, family, and country. We've got to turn back to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, ladies and gentlemen, and we better do it fast if we want our liberty to be maintained. For Eldon Stahl, thenewamerican.com and jbs.org, thank you so much. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net, God save the